Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, Prozac, self-mutilation, and suicide, on today's edition of Return to the Word.
We're so glad to have you with us here today on Return to the Word. We hope you'll stay with us. We have, I think, some very important information for you today. It could protect your family. This information is very, very important for the Christian community to understand, especially in a day and age where many Christian counseling centers are encouraging people to go on drugs because they're telling them this is safe. These drugs are safe. And we're going to be looking at that today. Hope that you will stay with us. And if you have someone who is considering taking some of these psychoactive drugs, you may want them to tune in to listen to this. It may make them upset because we have found that in many cases, people who are involved in drugs like this don't want to hear about any kind of danger. You heard Alden Laird say, there.
That's
and
right.
He is back with us
today.
Almost
alive.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Got in at Denver International Airport about 2 a.m., and by the time I got to bed, it's 4 o'clock. So it's one of those, I think they call it a red-eye flight coming in. So I feel that way a little bit this morning, but had a wonderful trip. Got to meet Sue's mother and brother and sister there in San Luis Obispo over the weekend, and got Sue's house sold. And,
wonderful.
So we had just a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Super. Well, we have missed you, and it's good
missed
to
you.
Have you back. Down in Jacksonville, you'll be interested in this, Alden. There were some who mentioned the fact that they actually thought, when they saw your picture and all, they were just astonished because, they said that they thought that we were father-son team. And they don't quite understand. Now, I was assuming that they meant that I was a son, you were the father, because of your age problem here. But no, they actually said they thought I was the father and you were the son, and they were thinking that you were in your 30s.
All right. I like those people.
Well, I corrected them. I corrected them on this. I didn't want them to live under this deception. But I just thought that you should. I thought they'd do wonders for your self-esteem.
They are very good friends. They went from good friends to close friends just with that statement.
Indeed, we had a wonderful time there. I do want to tell our folks about the IABC Bible Conference coming up August 3-5 here in Denver. And Alden, we're having our workshop speakers confirmed. They are coming to be with us. Steve Camp is a contemporary artist, but a Bible teacher who has gone through a great tragedy this last year. Our conference theme is Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. And Baba Hoekstra is going to be with us. He is one of our favorites, of course. We have a whole host of workshops, Freedom from Addiction by Chuck Andrews, Healing Trouble, Helping Those Who Hurt, Having Hope in Hopeless Situations, Helping the Fearful, How to Help Those Who Are Afflicted, How to Overcome Bitterness, Counseling in the Providence of God, Counseling Crisis Situations, Counseling from the Book of James, How to Help a Grieving Child, How to Help a Couple in a Domestic Violence Situation, What to Do with Suffering and Pain, Worship in the Healing Process, a healing or a biblical perspective of forgiveness, From Tragedy to Triumph, Dealing with Anger, Healing from Abuse, The Harvest is Plentiful. These are just outstanding workshops. We have some wonderful speakers who are going to be sharing with you how to deal with life even when life hurts. I had a letter that came in on the internet last night from a pastor of a very large church in Oklahoma. Just saying he's going through such a time of depression. And he said, I know that medication and counseling is not the route that God would have me take. Can you help me? Now, this is of a large church, and I've written back to him, of course, and trying to encourage him to understand that many of the trials we go through are for the purpose not only of our growth, but for God to be able to minister to others through our suffering. Well, today we're going to be talking about the evidence that shows that there's an element of danger to the so-called wonder drug, Prozac. Prozac, self-mutilation and suicide. Can you believe they go together? Well, they do. We're going to be talking about that. We hope that you will give us a call a little later on when we open the phone lines. I think you'll find the information we have for you today fascinating. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bolka. Today we're talking about Prozac, self-mutilation, and suicide.
Let me just mention to our listeners, if you would like a copy of the newsletter from the International Association of Biblical Counselors that's housed right here in our facilities, this is a group of counselors all across America. And Alden, we heard from one of our special friends in Australia, Ken Legg, who is part of IABC. He is hoping to be with us for this conference as well.
Wonderful.
To fly in from Australia. I think that will be the distance winner this year, very likely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping he comes. If you'd like a copy of our newsletter, just give us a call after the broadcast today. If you get a tape machine, don't worry about it. Staff's probably at lunch, and you can leave your name and address there. Also, the Return to the Word newsletter is being prepared with our new publications director. That'll be out very, very soon as well. Those of you in the Denver region, I'd like you to put down on your calendar the fall festival that we're going to be having here on our property at 115th and Sheridan Boulevard in Westminster. September 23rd is the date that it's scheduled for right now. Of course, weather and other features could change the final date on that. But we expect some 6,000 people or more on that day here, as it goes through the 12-hour period, just going to be a wonderful time. The biggest problem is going to be parking, getting people in and out. It is just fantastic. It's a free festival. We'll have all kinds of displays there for you. There's going to be a creation versus evolution booth. I'm really excited about that. And there are going to be ministry booths, and there are going to be so many things for families to come to. It's an outreach to our communities around about us. We hope that you'll come to that September 23rd right here in Westminster. Alden, there is an article that was faxed to us from our friends in Milwaukee, and it's actually a copy of an article from the Boston Globe. Now, this came out in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last Wednesday, May 10th. And as I looked through this article, I was just astounded because this article shows that the Eli Lilly Corporation, which is a huge purveyor of drugs across our nation, knew of the dangers of Prozac, but they withheld the information. Now, this is stunning. I'm just shocked that this is not on the front page of every paper in America, but it wasn't. Now, Leah Garnett from Boston Globe, is writing that just as a 14-year-old patent on Prozac is about to expire, and the drug maker Eli Lilly and Company is preparing to launch a new version, a body of evidence has come to light revealing the antidepressant's dark side. The company's internal documents, now, folks, you've got to listen carefully to this. The company's internal documents, some dating to the mid-80s, as well as government applications and patents, indicate that the pharmaceutical giant has known for years that its best-selling drug could cause suicidal reactions in a small but significant number of patients. The reports could become critical as Lilly seeks government approval for its new Prozac. Among the findings are these. Internal documents show that in 1990, Lilly scientists were pressured by corporate executives to alter records on physician experiences with Prozac, changing mentions of suicide attempts to overdose and suicidal thoughts to depression.
Now, that's pretty heavy.
Incredibly significant.
It is.
Listen to this. 3 years before Prozac received approval by the United States Food and Drug Administration in late 1987, the German BGA, that's the country's FDA equivalent, had such serious reservations about Prozac's safety that it refused to approve the antidepressant. This refusal was based on Lilly's studies showing that previously non-suicidal patients, you've got to listen to this carefully, previously non-suicidal patients who took the drug had a five-fold higher rate of suicide and suicide attempts than those on older antidepressants and a three-fold higher rate than those taking placebos.
That's stunning.
People just, they don't realize this is what's happening because this information has been kept under wraps. Lilly's own figures and reports made available to the Boston Globe indicate that 1 in 100 previously non-suicidal patients who took the drug in early clinical trials developed a severe form of anxiety and agitation called akathisia, causing them to attempt or commit suicide during the studies. Now, they say that's just 1 in 100, so it's, you know, statistically insignificant, according to Lilly. I'm sure that's the take they would put out on it. Now, although Lilly has steadfastly defended the drug's safety and downplayed studies linking Prozac to suicide, the patent for the new Prozac, expected to be marketed by Lilly beginning in the year 2002, now listen to this, this is their own statement, notes that the new version will not produce several existing side effects, including akathisia, suicidal thoughts, and self-mutilation, which the patent calls one of its more significant side effects. That's from their own literature that they have been denying. They have said, well, it doesn't have these. Now they're saying, well, the new drug won't have these side effects that the old drug had, which we said didn't have. A researcher at McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts, and associate professor at Harvard Medical School, Martin Teacher, whose early 1990s studies linked Prozac to akathisia and suicide, is a co-inventor of the new Prozac, along with Timothy Barbarich, the CEO of Sepracor Incorporated, a Marlboro, Massachusetts drug company. A just-published book, Prozac Backlash, by Cambridge psychiatrist Joseph Glenmullen, and Cindy, I think we want to book this person for a program, Prozac Backlash. This is, again, Joseph Glenmullen. He has drawn Lilly's ire, that is, they're not happy with him, for discussing Prozac's link to suicide, tics, facial tics, we're talking about, you know, the twitching, uncontrollable twitching, withdrawal symptoms, and other side effects of Prozac and similar antidepressants. Lilly officials continue to defend the drug's effectiveness, saying its track record is borne out by the fact it's still the most widely prescribed drug of its kind. Now, that's like saying, hey, cocaine is safe because people are happy when they're taking it.
Sure.
That's the equivalent of what they just said. Don't you know it's the most widely prescribed drug, therefore it is safe. A Lilly spokesman said there's no credible evidence that establishes a causal link between Prozac and violent or suicidal behavior. I wish he would read his own literature, because his own literature says that there are existing side effects, including akathisia, suicidal thoughts, and self-mutilation. There is, to the contrary, according to this article, scientific evidence showing that Prozac and medicines like it actually, now this is the same man's statement from Lilly, showing that it actually protects against such behaviors. I wish he would read his own material. Using figures on Prozac, both from Lilly and independent research, however, according to David Healy, an expert on the brain's serotonin system and director of North Wales Department in Psychological Medicine at the University of Wales, listen to this, estimated that probably, this is a quote, probably 50,000 people have committed suicide on Prozac since its launch, over and above the number who would have done so if left untreated.
Think of it, 50,000 people.
50,000 people that this person says that the one causal effect was Prozac. Healy, meanwhile, and again he's the one that made that statement, is conducting a study that he says is the first of its kind, giving antidepressants to healthy people to study possible links to suicide. Oh, there's a great study. Let's give Prozac to healthy people and see if they commit suicide. Let's see if there's a causal link here. And the results are expected to be published in June. Oh, my. Prozac's success is certainly unquestioned, according to this article. The introduction of the drug to the U.S. market in the late 1980s changed the way Americans have viewed their most intimate emotions and limitations. Billed as a wonder drug to combat depression by boosting levels of the brain chemical serotonin, Prozac and others like it were also said to remedy a host of human frailties, from poor self-esteem and concentration to fear of rejection. Now, Alden, I shared with the church on Sunday, as a child, I would have been a prime candidate for Ritalin as far as concentration goes. However, my mother had a much simpler solution. It's called thimble therapy. She put a metal thimble on her middle finger, smacked me in the back of the head with it if I wasn't concentrating during service, and I've got to tell you, it had an amazing
Yes, it did.
It helped me to concentrate amazingly. Well, they're saying that Prozac doesn't. By the end of last year, more than 35 million people worldwide were using the drug, which provided Lilly with more than 25% of its $10 billion in 1999 revenue. Well, the article says, most doctors do not know to warn patients of the potentially dangerous side effects, which according to published literature on the topic can be alleviated with sedatives or by going off the drug. So, I mean, if they've got problems, then give them sedatives or go off the drugs. Well, German regulators eventually approved Prozac for use in that country, but they required a warning label about the risk of suicide and suggest the concurrent use of sedatives when necessary. Akathisia is listed in Lilly's U.S. product literature, but as an infrequent event in Prozac history. No mention is made of potential relationship to suicide. When we come back, we'll just share a little bit more about this and other literature that's out, and we want to get your take on it. Do you think it's safe? Do you think people, especially Christians, ought to be relying on Prozac? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Dr. Ed Bolka. Today we're talking about Prozac, self-mutilation, and suicide.
Can you believe that this drug is supposed to help so many people? And there are those who say, well, look, if I hadn't had it, I would have committed suicide. And others are saying, well, you know, if I had not had these drugs, I don't know what my life would be like. But now I can live a somewhat normal life. You know, I'm convinced unless we're talking about a brain tumor or hormonal imbalance or something like that, that more people would learn how to depend on God, learn how to stay in fellowship with God, that they would not need these drugs, which, by the way, have so many other side effects. We'll talk about it in a minute. But in this article, it concludes with this. It says that the patent for the new Prozac says that the new Prozac will decrease side effects of the existing Prozac, such as headaches, nervousness, anxiety, and insomnia, as well as inner restlessness, that's akathisia, suicidal thoughts, and self-mutilation. The same effects that Lilly has contended have not occurred in any substantial way in about 200 lawsuits against it over the past decade. Most of the suits were settled out of court and the terms kept confidential. Folks, the problem I have with this is that these drug companies work so hard at convincing you on television that these drugs are totally safe. They will hold seminars at seminaries trying to tell Christian counselors that these drugs are absolutely safe. Well, there are more and more people who are doing studies on this coming out against it. There is Dr. Ann Tracy, a PhD in psychology and health sciences. She has studied for some 10 years in the adverse reactions to these kinds of medications. She's executive director of International Coalition for Drug Awareness and the author of the book Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. And we'd probably get her on the air with us as well here before long. But she is reporting some of these incredible problems that come along with these drugs and talking about the danger of going off a drug without medical supervision, which we constantly warn people, don't go off your drug without medical supervision because your body has become attuned to this drug. It has gotten used to it. And suddenly coming off a drug can cause overwhelming depression. And that, by the way, is one of the proofs that they cry out. They say, see, they're depressed without it. Of course they're depressed. Their body has attuned itself to it. Mm-hmm. And now you suddenly take them off, they're going to sink into a terrible depression or terrible insomnia and fatigue. But there can be life-threatening physical effects such as psychosis, violent outbursts. The author of this particular study, Ann Blake Tracy, says that virtually all of these drugs, the serotonergic, I can't even say that word, but it's talking about the fact that all of these drugs that try to adjust the serotonin levels, they are saying that all of these produce virtually the same effect and the side effects are virtually the same. We're talking about Zoloft and Celexa and others. Well, they're saying that it is crucial to learn that according to medical research, the theory behind this entire group of drugs is invalid. known as serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They're designed to block serotonin in the brain, thereby increasing brain levels of the neurotransmitter. Yet for three decades, researchers have been intensely interested in serotonin because of the drugs that produce psychedelic effects that mimic serotonin. And then the study goes on to say that elevated serotonin is found in psychosis, schizophrenia, mood disorders, organic brain disease, mental retardation, autism, and Alzheimer's, while low levels of metabolism of serotonin, which also produces high serotonin, in other words, it's not able to digest it, so to speak, mm-hmm. the metabolism of it, are found in those with depression, anxiety, suicide, violence, arson, substance abuse, insomnia, violent nightmares, impulsive behavior, reckless driving, exhibitionism, hostility, argumentative behavior. The drugs increase serotonin and decrease the metabolism of serotonin, leading to any and all of the above side effects.
Mm.
This lady is saying it's being pushed on America, and so she asks this question. So why are we now in the 90s, now in the year 2000, being told that increased serotonin is good for us? She says it's because it's good for the pocketbooks of the manufacturers. Or, well, she asks the question, is it because it's good for the pocketbooks of the manufacturer? And she gives evidence that indeed they're pushing this because of the incredible financial benefit. Then she lists how Prozac and these other drugs were involved in many of these recent shootings. Talks about the shooting member of Mark Barton, the Atlanta day trader, who killed mm-hmm. his family. Prozac was found in his van. Neil Furrow in that L.A. Jewish school shooting, he was reported to have been on Prozac, court-ordered. The Salt Lake City Family History Library shooting. The school shootings here in Littleton, Luvox and Prozac. In Atlanta, Prozac. In Caldwell, Idaho, and Pocatello, Idaho, Zoloft. In Rigby, Idaho, Paxil. In Connecticut, Luvox. In the New York City bombing by Edward Leary, Prozac. It just goes on and on. In Wenatchee, Washington, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where 43 people were wrongfully imprisoned in a false accusation of sexual abuse witch hunt. It was started by a child under the influence of Prozac and Paxil. These are the kinds of things that are happening today. And later on in this article that she gives, she tells a case where they went to court, and the judge actually came out later with a statement because they won the case, and Eli Lilly reported this as a victory. I want you to listen very quickly before we go to calls in just a moment. Judge John Potter, who presided over this case, filed documents in May of 1995 to demand that Lilly be forced to disclose the secret deal they made with the plaintiffs to withhold very damaging evidence in exchange for settlement. In his pleading to the court, Judge Potter stated, quote, Lilly sought to buy not just the verdict, but the court's judgment as well. This judge has accused Eli Lilly of, quote, giving the verdict the widest possible publicity, accompanied by the claim that Lilly had, quote, proven in a court of law that Prozac was safe, unquote. And furious with Lilly's attempt to turn his courtroom into an advertising agency, he claims that his motion reflects the court's duty to protect the integrity of the judicial system. Do you know what he was saying here? He's saying that they paid off the plaintiffs, those who had brought the case, and he has no idea how much money he paid them. He's saying that needs to be brought out in order to change the most damaging evidence that they had. That is an incredible claim. Folks, these are the kinds of things we've been reporting to you for some time. And again, people say, well, you're too harsh on those who are using these drugs. Don't you know that they need these drugs? We've been told by others we're heartless, that we don't care about people. Folks, we're reporting to you what the secular media is now picking up on. We're reporting to you what the psychiatrists are now saying. Peter Bregan has been warning people for years. We have his book, Talking Back to Prozac, that's available for you here. We have the book, Your Drug May Be Your Problem, by Peter Bregan. That's available for you here. And we're going to be interviewing some of these other authors as well to try to protect you, to help you to understand the answer is not Prozac or some other psychotropic drug to relieve you of your depression because your father died. or because there's a sudden illness or a business setback. The solution is not a drug. The solution is to cast every care upon Him.
Well, Pastor, I think that's the problem that I see today. We have a whole host of people, millions in fact, who are not learning how to think any differently.
That's right.
And so instead of being better thinkers, we're just becoming consumers. And, you know, one of the questions, I know we don't have a lot of time to go into now, but I want to ask you, what about the person who says, well, this drug really did save my life. I think I was so depressed, and I went into this terrible, terrible chasm of fear or depression or worry, and I believe that the Prozac or whatever the drug would be, it really saved my life. I'd really like to get your take on that.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back from break here in just a moment, and you can join us in our program today by giving us a call right now, 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Here in Denver, 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. Maybe you have a comment or question about this issue. Maybe there's something else that's heavy on your heart. We try to open up the lines to virtually any subject, but this one especially today about the psychoactive drugs and the tremendous danger that can accompany them. What do you do with it? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Today in the Turn of the Word, we're talking about Prozac, self-mutilation, and suicide. And you can join in our discussion by calling us the Denver Metro Region at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. Anywhere else in the country, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Now, Pastor, I'm trying to talk slower. I listen. When Sue and I were driving to San Luis Obispo, we were listening to one of the programs, and you know how it is. It's very rare for you and I to ever listen to our own program. I said, you know, as the years have been going, I'm talking faster. So I'm trying to slow down a little bit. Of course, being a
that'll
little bit tired.
That'll happen naturally for you soon
naturally
anyway.
As I get older, don't worry about that.
If I were you, I wouldn't even worry about that.
But it did. The reason I brought that up is I want to remind folks that you can always get a copy of any of our programs for a gift of $7 or more, and we have literally hundreds, I think, programs that could help you or a friend that has a particular problem, and we have a wonderful catalog. Just call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD, and we'll get that out to you.
We'd love to get that into your hands, and use these resources. You know, maybe you have someone who cannot hear us. Now, we're available in many states. I heard when I was down in Florida that there's a station in Georgia now carrying us I don't even know about. But I'm so thankful for that, and we encourage our listeners there to give us calls as well.
I got to ask you that question. And so someone who says, well, Pastor, I know you're sincere, but I think Prozac saved my life. I was so depressed. Mm-hmm. How do we answer someone?
I would say thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I mean, if somebody says that saved my life, my answer is, well, I'm thankful. I mean, I'm not trying to harm anyone. What I do want to say to them, though, is have you become a closer follower of Christ since that time?
Mm.
A lot of people will tell me, well, I do better. I'm a much better person now. I'm happier. And my response is, I'm glad for that, but are you walking with Jesus in obedience? Or has your drug made you comfortable with your sin? Now think about that for just a moment. If your drug is helping you to sin without a sense of guilt, has it really helped you? And my answer is, I don't think so. Let's talk with Aaron in Westminster, Colorado. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Wonderful. Go right ahead.
Well, my question is, how can you really tell the difference between what doctors tell you is a chemical imbalance and maybe an unresolved sin in your life? I've been taking a variety of different things for the past 12, 13 years as a result of extremely debilitating depression and panic attacks to the point where I could not walk, I couldn't talk, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely made a difference in my life.
Sure.
My walk with the Lord has been very strong, especially within the past 6 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still dependent on Zoloft, one of the medications that you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And in trying to, I did have a couple of babies, and in that time I didn't want them to be affected by the medication, so I did talk to my doctor about weaning off of it. But after having the babies, I was shaky and nervous and depressed again, and so they put me back on the medication.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that they will often say is you have a chemical imbalance, therefore we want to give you these drugs. And my question for the doctors is, how do you know that there is a chemical imbalance? And I'll be real honest with you here. Their only answer is the symptoms.
Right.
They don't know that you have a chemical imbalance. Now, if we're talking about a hormonal imbalance, they can do tests for that.
Uh-huh.
They can tell if your thyroid is not working properly.
Right.
They can tell if you're diabetic. There are things like that that they can tell, but they cannot tell what the chemical balance of your brain ought to be, what the baseline is. They do not know what your baseline is, let alone anyone else's. And they don't know whether or not your particular chemical is out of balance. They're just saying it on the basis of symptoms. And what I try to point out to people is that the circumstances of our life can bring about the depressions and the problems of our life. If you suddenly have a disaster that takes place in your life, is it any wonder that a person goes into a time of depression, of sorrow, of grief? Well, of course not. But does that mean because a person has gone into that experience that they're sick or that they have a chemical imbalance? No, it means that their body is reacting the way it was designed to react,
right,
to sorrow and suffering. So do they know that it's a chemical imbalance? No, they do not know. But now that you are on the drug and your body has adapted to it, it is not surprising at all that you would have those kinds of reactions when you come off.
Mm-hmm. It was awful.
Well, of course it is.
I thought I was dying.
Yeah, exactly.
and it's just, it's incredible and it's extremely scary to see what the... Even just a small dosage is what the drugs can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very addictive.
Yes, they are.
And I think that maybe that's part of the going off of it is you think, oh my gosh, I need this. And when my doc said that he wanted to put me on Prozac, I told him, no, I mean, this is enough right here. I've heard too many scary things about the Prozac, and I've got enough to deal with,
mm-hmm,
with trying to get away from the other.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how. And I guess I probably just need to confront the Lord and find out exactly what I have that's unresolved, or if maybe I'm just hanging on.
Well, there can even be the fear, Erin. My guess is that because you've been on this and when you went off you experienced those side effects, that you're afraid to go off it now. There's that fear.
Right.
And that's understandable. And what I would suggest in a time like that is that you spend time with the doctor, being sure that there is no other issue physical that needs to be resolved,
mm-hmm,
and that you then draw around you prayer partners who will join with you during that time so that you don't walk through this valley by yourself.
Right.
Have others that know that you're going through it, pray with you, and to be there for you. But realize any time you come off any drug, you're going to have these kinds of battles, and it's going to take some time. But unless there is some genuine physiological problem, you're going to be able to come off and eventually have victory over it. But you want a medical doctor by your side.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate something that Pastor Alden had said, mm-hmm, to me, several months ago, as far as the dependence upon these kind of drugs. And
yeah,
I feel like a defective Christian to be able to witness to other people when I tell them,
mm-hmm,
I am dependent upon this drug. And
yeah,
it's hard because I need to be dependent upon my Lord.
I understand that, and I know some would say, well, would you say the same thing about a person with diabetes? And I'd say, of course not.
No, that's
definitely different.
Something they can prove by testing.
That's right.
It's definitely a physical thing.
And it's not something that because of a sin that it necessarily comes on, or that when you stop thinking one way or another that it goes away. We're talking about a physiological thing versus a spiritual thing.
Right. Well, would you have any suggestions as far as Scripture to either, ask the Lord if there is some unresolved sin or something scriptural that could help in strengthening?
What we use so many times, and we encourage people to go to Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, going all the way through verse 19, and to memorize a large portion of that. We have found people, especially with anxiety, they have found great help with that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
You too.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of our callers.
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. Pastor, I mentioned two books are by Dr. Peter Bragan. Wonderful. First one is Talking Back to Prozac, and this is a paperback for a gift of $12 or more. The subtitle, What Doctors Aren't Telling You About Today's Most Controversial Drug. And then the Los Angeles Times says, there is unquestionably a great deal of truth in what Bragan writes. Let the pill swallower beware. And then this is a more recent book, Your Drug May Be Your Problem, How and Why to Stop Taking Psychiatric Medications, for a gift of $22 or more. So I think if you add those up together, that'd be $34, and we'll get both of these into your hands for a gift of $30 or more.
They really can be such a help to you if you're wondering about this issue. And not being medical doctors, we do not try to give medical advice, but we do have the right to tell you there are side effects and to tell you about these issues and the news releases, and we're very careful. We have always been extremely careful to say, before you go off a drug that you have been on for any length of time, you need to go to your medical doctor and to ask him to help you, to work with you through this situation. We have lots of callers. Let's quickly go to Peter in Gays Mills. Peter, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
Go right ahead.
Well, I've had two relatives on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
And one relative, I had a female and a male relative. The female relative, I believe it seemed to help.
Mm-hmm.
But the male relative, they misdiagnosed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him on Prozac. They put him on an upper and a downer.
Oh, my.
And he one time told me that he didn't know whether he was coming or going.
Mm-hmm.
And through it all, he ended up one night drinking a six-pack of beer and ended up going into the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And he was also on the drug?
Right.
Oh.
And he just happened to mention to him that 6 months prior, he had maybe smoked marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up, because of that statement, going through alcohol, Addicts Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet one of the doctors had said, I hope you're not going to sue us. And what it was the psychiatrist or psychologist had misdiagnosed him.
Yeah.
He had low testosterone level.
Oh, my.
And that's all that was wrong with him.
Well, that was a very bright doctor saying, I hope you don't sue us. I mean, let's throw out the idea here. This is really,
right.
You got to wonder, a guy who misdiagnosed and then he says that. I don't know if I'd go back to him.
It was one of the doctors that treated him after the other doctor had screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Goodness.
But I just thought you guys would like to hear about that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your call, Peter.
Yep.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was reading in this article, a young mother who had never used alcohol before began drinking large amounts within weeks of being prescribed Prozac, quickly found herself committed to a mental institution due to the psychotic behavior that resulted. Mm. I mean, there's just case after case talking about this, who they go on binges after they start taking these drugs. It's just an amazing thing, another amazing side effect. Let's talk with Edward in Jacksonville, Florida. Edward, how are you today?
Yes, I was wondering about someone doing cocaine on a daily basis, being very high all day, and then drinking alcohol at night to go to sleep by.
Yeah.
What's in the future for them?
Oh,
what can you expect? What's next?
Okay. Do you want to stay on
it? For some 5 years, they've been doing this plus.
Well, I got to tell you, the impact of this, I mean, you're talking self-destructive behavior, not only mentally. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and drop you off. I think we lost our caller there. Mm-hmm. Mentally, the loss is incredible. What this cocaine does, first of all, you're not only dealing with the mental aspect, but the spiritual aspects of these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You are talking about a person who is having to develop and has developed deception. Every portion of his life is deception. He's having to lie about his drugs. He's having to do illegal things, probably to support his drug habit. And then just to try to calm down is getting drunk. And the effects, of course, of drunkenness, the physical effects, are horrible enough. But I've got to tell you, the spiritual effects
mm-hmm.
are just beyond calculation. We're talking about, and even if a person claims to be a Christian and is continuing in this area, and you allow these substances to control your life, I believe you are endangering yourself spiritually so much. I cannot even overemphasize the terrible danger that this could be. So what are what does the future hold for him? It's very bleak, very bleak. It very likely, if he has a family, that's going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships in marriage are going to be destroyed. He's probably, if he's not already unemployed, will be because of this. I mean, you're just talking about the side effects of this are so horrible. It's a downward spiral, and we have seen how many young men, Alden, have we seen that have ended up in the gutter who had great potential, but their life now is passing them by, and they are just spending their time in a bottle. What a sad, sad future for them. JC in Salina, Kansas, how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Nice to talk with you.
I'd like to know, what was that you said about, high serotonin levels and Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's,
yes. Is there anything else that causes high serotonin levels besides those drugs you're talking about? Well, I mean, certain foods and stuff like that.
They are saying that this issue, that the whole theory behind these types of drugs is invalid. And they're saying that an elevated serotonin level is found in people with these kinds of disorders. It's not saying necessarily that the drug caused it, but I think that's what they're wondering, because this drug increases the serotonin level.
In Alzheimer's.
In any person. That's the purpose of the drug. And they're saying that they find elevated levels of serotonin in folks with Alzheimer's.
Wow, very interesting.
Is it a direct link? I don't think they've established that yet, but it certainly makes you wonder.
Oh, yeah. And are there any foods or anything that cause an elevated serotonin level?
Do you know, I would have to check that out, but I'm under the impression that is the case, and I would have to look at that, but I don't have that answer for you.
Okay. Should I write that question to
you? Yes, that would be very helpful if you would write that to us, and we'll research it.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Thanks a million.
You're welcome.
Also, there's one other thing I'd like to say.
Sure.
A couple more things. Thanks for your wonderful program. It's very informative,
and people
need this information, obviously.
Mm.
And the other thing I would like to say is I'd just like to throw out the idea that these people that are having all these problems, the Bible says that the Bible is very powerful, and
that's right.
I would like to say that I'd like to recommend that they try reading the Bible and read it a whole lot instead of all this other stuff they're doing.
And, you know, it's not even just the reading. It's the practice. We find a lot of people who read the Bible, but they still are enslaved, and they say, why doesn't it work? I said, are you doing what it says?
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's not just a hearer.
I think if they read the Bible, that it would... They wouldn't need all this other stuff.
Well, I agree with you. If they're putting it into practice, there's no question. I want to thank you so much and do write us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Bye. Let's talk with Don right now in Salina. Don, how are you?
I'm fine. I was just calling about a few months ago. My doctor, I was diagnosed with cancer and had cancer surgery and all that, and other things have. Problems have come up, in my life.
Sure.
And so I was kind of down, so I talked to the doctor, and he put me on Prozac.
Yeah.
I took the Prozac and never could tell any difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not clinically depressed, and I'm not suicidal depressed or anything like that, but I had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask is I quit taking them about 2 weeks ago, and I feel no effect either.
Yeah.
One way or the other, but I wanted to know, is there a danger?
With Prozac or without?
With just getting off from them.
Well, no, as far as, again, you need to, we encourage people to first go to their doctor and to be sure that they're being monitored. You see, many of these drugs, by the way, also have a very serious effect on the liver. And
right.
So people need to have that monitored. But is there any danger in not being on a given drug when we're talking about this type of drug? If a person is, you're experiencing the normal events and problems of life, which is what you've described, then I would say no. There is certainly no danger, and in my opinion, there's far more danger with the side effects of it to go on it than to stay off of it.
Right. Well, that's what I was concerned with, because I know, I've quit taking them. And I have felt no effect on them one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
My problems are still there, and they're still my problems.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And they would be one way or the other.
That's right. So, they will be no matter what
that's
I do.
Right.
I don't take them.
Those
but
drugs.
I was more concerned about if it would be detrimental to me. You know, of course, I go to the doctor regularly. I will have to, but I haven't talked to him about that.
Yeah.
But I feel fine, so...
I would just tell him that you're off of it and
okay.
that you're feeling fine and that you don't want to be out in that.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we appreciate so much our callers across the country, you know, and some folks in various parts of the country are not as trained in to call as others are. I know we have folks listening in many other states. We encourage you to join with us by way of the phone from day to day as well. But I want to thank all of our callers who are joining with us to make the program much more interesting. Sorry we couldn't get to our last caller. Time is just running out. But I do want to mention once again, or have you mentioned, Alden, these books?
Sure. We've got Talking Back to Prozac. Again, these two books are by Dr. Peter Bragan. The first one is a paperback for a gift of $12 or more to return to the Word, What Doctors Aren't Telling You About Today's Most Controversial Drug. And this was seen by millions on Oprah when Dr. Bragan was interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is Your Drug May Be Your Problem, How and Why to Stop Taking Psychiatric Medications, again by Dr. Bragan, for a gift of $22 or more. That's a total of $34 if you bought them separately, but you can get those for a gift of $30 or more if you order that today from Return to the Word.
And, you know, by ordering, you do help our ministry as well. We could use your support. And if you've already supported your local church with tithe and offering, if you've supported your local station that is providing this program for you, and you still want to help, please do write us and send a special gift of love. Thank you so much for being with us today. And Alden, it is so good to have you back with us again today.
Wonderful to be with you. You can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape entitled Prozac, Self-Mutilation, and Suicide by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow at the same time here on Return to the Word. Return to the Word is a ministry of Life Fellowship, a family Bible church, and counseling center.
We hope this has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.